Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. What's so interesting about vanadium? Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is December 26th, 2013, the day after Christmas. How do you feel, panelists?
Great.
I had a wonderful Christmas. It's hard to get back to work today.
It sure is hard to get back to work today after Christmas. That's Josh Mooney and Rebecca Krushnitsky in the studio with me today for this three-day article, The Battle of the Batteries. But first, let's talk about the important stuff, Christmas. How was your Christmas, Josh?
It's gift-a-palooza at our house, Bill.
I've got gift-a-palooza.
Two young boys, Luke and Noah, and yes, lots of presents, lots of new toys to open. And the thing I don't like, Bill, putting them together. All these toys have those two words I hate on the side of the box. Assembly required.
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness. You become very good at reading directions.
Right.
Yeah.
And, of course, none of them have batteries with them either.
No.
So we got to stock up on AA's, AAA's, C's, D's.
There is nothing worse than getting a toy assembled and then not having batteries.
That's right. No, my wife's always very good to buy them in advance.
Okay.
And actually, I'll be honest, she's the one that does the assembly as well.
Wow.
Oh, she does too.
She puts them together.
Yeah. Wow. She is adept at this.
Yeah. I married well.
Are you adept at that?
No, Rebecca? I'm terrible at following instructions. I really hate directions in general.
All right. Okay.
Now, how was your Christmas, Bill?
It was good. Yeah, it was good. Kind of low-key, but I had a nice Christmas, so I had a chance to spend Christmas with some friends and have a nice dinner, so it's great. Yeah, I miss having Christmas back home, back in Pittsburgh.
With lots of family.
Yeah, I kind of miss that and the snow. I really kind of miss Christmas and with snow. Always, gives a feeling and everything. So, but you know what? The disappointment really only lasts for about a day. And then after that, I'm okay. So I've gotten used to it.
Sure.
Hey, I just want to ask you something. You said it's gift-a-palooza at your house. And I want to just ask you to explain that to our listeners because they might be writing in and saying, what did Josh say, gift-a-palooza?
Well, it's a funny suffix to add to a word. I think the most common use of it is a music festival in America called Lollapalooza, which is a big kind of circusy, fun, crazy music scene. So we've been coming in the habit, maybe you've seen it in articles you've read in the past, where they've added the palooza suffix to it, just to mean it's very festive and fun and kind of crazy.
Okay. All right. So that is it's kind of a cultural thing, but it is kind of a joke, and it's a funny thing. And so we've added that to many other words. So, for instance, we might say advance is English palooza.
There you
right?
go.
So it's a lot of fun, and it's a lot of stuff. So, Rebecca, tell me about your Christmas.
Oh, I had a wonderful Christmas. As usual, I spent it with my family. And for me, spending time with family is very important on these holidays. So it was a wonderful Christmas.
Yeah. I look at your pictures that you do post and I think, wow, you're really fortunate because your family is here.
Yes.
So, and that's really kind of nice. And you always have these nice family gatherings and big dinners and it looks like a lot of fun.
And turkey. Always turkey on Christmas. Yeah.
Fire chicken.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. You never call me over and invite me over for turkey. I like turkey.
I have to remember that.
I really like turkey.
I have to remember that. If I have two turkeys next time, I'll make sure to invite Bill over. He can have one
next
by himself.
Next time, right?
Yeah, next time.
Next time.
You don't see much hoji here in Asia.
You can buy it from Yingling and Jiayi.
Oh.
There are places that sell it. But in general, there's not that much turkey because a lot of Asians think that turkey is the meat is more dry.
Yeah.
So they're not big fans of turkey in general. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that was yesterday, and it's December 26th is always kind of a letdown, really.
That's true.
You know, for us Americans and Canadians, it's a little bit of a letdown.
We get pumped shopping.
Up for Christmas.
We have shopping. We have Boxing Day.
Do you celebrate Christmas on the 25th in Canada?
Well, yes, we do. Yes,
most
we
other
do.
Holidays, you change it, right?
Yes, this holiday we have the same as the U.S., and like Thanksgiving and many other holidays.
Yeah. But then you've got Boxing Day, which is it's actually inherited from the U.K., right? Now explain Boxing Day for our listeners.
Boxing Day is a wonderful day. Well, actually, I don't know if it's wonderful. It's a crazy day where you get up very early and you go to a lot of the big, especially electronic stores, and they have huge discounts, like maybe 70% off, 80% off.
Wow.
And then you stand in line with thousands of other people to try to get a good deal on something.
In the freezing cold?
Well, in Vancouver, where I used to live, it wasn't freezing cold. But yes, even in the freezing cold, people are willing to get up really early, like maybe 5 a.m., and stand in line so that they can get good discounts. You have that in the U.S., right?
Boxing we do.
But sounds like Shopapalooza. Right?
Yeah, Shopapalooza,
Wait a second. I thought Boxing Day was this tradition where you took like extra gifts and other things that the family didn't want and you put them in boxes and you gave them to less fortunate people. I thought that is where the name Boxing Day comes from.
Sounds like that's gone away.
It's given away to Walmart.
A long time. No, it's basically – now it's more like Boxing Month. It's not just Boxing Day. You have Boxing Month all the way into January.
And the We're not putting things in boxes and giving them
to
less fortunate people
anymore? No,
people are
just buying more and more things.
Just spending
in boxes.
Yes, in boxes.
Well, it used to be a nice idea. Okay. Battle of the Batteries. Let's get into our article today.
Yeah.
Okay, turn to page 38, listeners, and we'll just get right into our first reading. It'll be that left column on page 38.
Battle of the Batteries. New methods of energy storage could revolutionize solar and wind power. On an arid mountain in Nevada, a mining company believes it struck the 21st century equivalent of gold. The precious commodity is vanadium, a metal that can be extracted from shale rock and used to make powerful, long-lasting batteries for cars, homes, and utilities. If Vancouver-based American Vanadium gets federal approval for its proposed Ghibellini Hill project, it will operate the only vanadium mine in the United States. Eureka, indeed. The battle to build a better battery is intensifying as many countries, faced with growing global demand for electricity and a need to reduce the greenhouse gas emissions, look to expand carbon-free renewable energy such as wind and solar. Batteries are key. They can directly power electric cars and, indirectly, homes and big buildings by storing solar and wind power. They balance out renewables that produce energy intermittently so consumers can power up laptops or run refrigerators 24/7.
Okay, Battle of the Batteries, and it's kind of funny because Josh did mention here in the first part of our program about having to assemble all the toys and games for his children and having to add batteries, so it's appropriate then. We are talking about batteries, right, Josh?
That's right, and when we talk about a battle of something, it's a phrase we use quite often. It means that there's a heated competition going on between multiple parties, and we'll see which one wins. And in this case, it's all the different types of new renewable energy.
Okay, and what does our deck say, Rebecca, right under the title?
Well, we have the subtitles, New Methods of Energy Storage Could Revolutionize Solar and Wind Power. So here, we're talking about there are many different ways of storing energy.
That's right.
Other than the ones we have already.
Mm-hmm. Well, what has been the problem mainly with solar power and wind power? What do you think has been the main problem with that? Why has it not become more prolific, more widespread.
I assume storage is an issue.
Mm-hmm.
How to sustain this long term, and how to get kind of scale from it. You can put solar panels on your home, but it's not going to make a huge difference to your energy bill. So how do we, you know, get the scale necessary to see real lasting change?
Yeah, it's been a combination of those things. Scale. How do we create a large enough amount of power? And then also then how and where do we store it? Right now, the cost of providing enough power by wind and solar power is too high. It has been too high. Just other sources of power, for instance, burning coal, nuclear power, are actually much more productive as far as being able to produce the output of energy. Of course, they have their bad sides too.
Sure.
There are problems with that. But
the
problem has always been being able to produce enough power from solar power and windmills.
Yeah, and I think storage here is actually critical, because with both solar and wind power, for example, you don't have the sun shining 24 hours a day unless you live up in the Arctic Circle during the summer. So how do you store the solar energy?
Mm-hmm.
And one problem with solar power and wind power is also not everywhere in the world do you have enough sun or wind.
Yeah.
So for the places where you do get that, you must store as much sun or wind as possible so that you can use it at a later time.
Yeah. And for instance, I mentioned nuclear and coal. They aren't affected by that.
Yeah. Yeah,
a nuclear plant can run 24/7 anywhere in the world. Likewise with a coal plant.
Right.
But the wind and the sun, you have to deal with some variables that are outside of your control.
Well, the one you didn't mention is all the rage in North America, natural gas, which is cleaner than burning coal, but still, you know, has its downside from an environmental standpoint. The way that we extract natural gas is from shale rock, and which we'll talk about. Vanadium comes from shale as well, and it's leaving some, you know, lasting effects, extracting that from the ground, the process of fracking.
Yeah, that is something we can talk about here a little bit later in the article, but that is a good point about natural gas. First, we head off to Nevada, don't we, Josh?
That's right, an arid mountain, a dry place in the western United States. Nevada is an interesting state because most of its inhabitants live in two cities, Las Vegas and Reno, and the rest of it is really just arid, dry desert.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So just like that picture that you see there at the top of page 38. Well, a mining company believes it has struck the 21st century equivalent of gold in Nevada. And what have they found?
Well, they found a precious metal called vanadium. And we'll see here that vanadium is actually a very useful metal because it can make batteries that last longer.
Yeah. And we actually have the graphic we have at the top of page 39 shows the element vanadium. It is an element, and it's up there on the periodical chart. So that's what that graphic is at the top of page 39 in the upper right corner. So it's a precious metal that can be extracted from shale rock.
That's right. When you extract something, you remove it. It's a process of taking something out. And shale rock, which I don't think most people were really too familiar with until this natural gas boom a few years ago, is deep, deep underground. So it's been really difficult and a hard process to get shale out. But there are parts of Canada especially where you just have just tremendous amount of shale rock.
Yes, and that is mostly in the province of Alberta. Alberta is probably Canada's richest province because we have tons of natural gas, and we also have tons of oil reserves. But like Josh was saying, a lot of it is under shale rock, so you have to extract it from the rock. It's quite an expensive process.
Yes, it is an expensive process. Well, if they can get this vanadium from the shale rock, they can use it actually to make powerful, long-lasting batteries for cars, homes, and utilities. And we're talking about a company here in the next paragraph.
Yeah, and good to see. This is a Vancouver-based company with a funny American name called American Vanadium. And right now they're proposing to extract vanadium from Nevada.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Now, I was looking this up, and they actually had a different name before. They were used to be called Rocky Mountain Resources Corporation. They are based in Canada, but they just changed their name because that is the primary operation that they have. And this is this area that they own, this Ghibellini Hill project. It's just an area in Nevada. That is their main holding.
Right.
So that's why they changed their name. It seems kind of ridiculous that...
Actually, from a PR perspective or a publicity perspective, I think it's very wise because sometimes when you go into another country, people prefer feeling that the company is local. And by calling themselves American Vanadium, most people on the street would think that they are an American company, even though they're owned by Canadians. So actually, from a publicity perspective, I would think they're actually quite smart.
Yeah, it is a public relations thing. Okay. We start out the next paragraph with an interesting interjection.
Yeah, it says, Eureka! And it usually does have an exclamation point. It's something you shout when you've discovered something or you have been successful in something you're trying.
Yeah, voila would be another one that would be similar to that. Eureka, indeed. The battle to build a better battery is doing what, Rebecca?
Well, basically, it's intensifying. Intensifying means it's heating up because a lot of countries, especially developing countries, they need more energy. And there just isn't enough energy or electricity right now. Mm-hmm. Another problem right now is our greenhouse gas emissions is making the whole planet a lot hotter. So we're all trying to reduce the greenhouse gas emissions as well.
I mean, you think about how many devices we are plugging in these days.
Yes.
I mean, we are, as a country, as a world, Earth's inhabitants, using so much electricity these days.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just going to increase, right?
Yeah.
We're just getting bigger and stronger and faster devices and buying more and more, you know, multiple outlets so we can plug in more and more things.
Everything is we need power for everything. And so there's a lot of reasons that we are looking to expand carbon-free renewable energy such as wind and solar. The opposite, of course, carbon-based would be, for instance, like coal power.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or oil.
Or oil, yep.
Mm-hmm.
And renewable being sustainable, things that we can just keep getting it from. It's not a resource we're burning up.
Yeah, you think the word renew, when you bring a library book back, you want to renew it. You want to, or a membership card, maybe it expires. And this idea of adding more life to something, renewing.
Now we see the next paragraph. Rebecca, batteries are key, and why?
Well, and they are key because batteries, they're the things that power, like, whatever device we're using, whether it's a phone or whether it's an iPad or whether it's a car, even homes and big buildings. So batteries are key, and I would say even more, battery life is key.
Okay.
Like, none of us could live without a smartphone that's not charged up.
Right.
And we did talk a little bit about this earlier, about why batteries are so important tying in with these renewable sources.
That's right. They are key in balancing out, it says, and producing energy intermittently because you don't need it at all times.
Yes.
I only need it for a short amount of time and then I charge it up or I need it when it's turned on. So how do we store it so that it's available anytime we need it?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Let's have our second reading for today.
The dawn of the energy storage age. Universities, startups, and major companies are working with new materials such as vanadium or tweaking the lithium-ion battery. Some advances, like ones that Toyota and IBM are developing to power cars for 500-plus miles on a single charge, won't make it to market for at least 5 years. Others made their debuts this year, including a battery that enables homes with solar panels to go entirely off-grid. In February, California required a Los Angeles-era utility to ensure some capacity comes from energy storage. On May 1st, Germany began subsidizing homeowners' purchases of batteries to store power from solar panels. China's 5-year plan calls for 5% of all electricity to be stored by 2020. The global market for storing power from solar panels is forecast to explode from less than $200 million in 2012 to $19 billion by 2017, according to a report by IMS Research.
So we start with the title of this column. It says the dawn of the energy storage age. And when we talk about an age, is an exciting period of advancement. And the beginning of an age is called the dawn of it. And now we move into looking at startups, universities, and the major companies working with materials such as vanadium to create the batteries of the future.
All right, and we've got a couple of words there, keywords here, what they're doing with vanadium, right, Rebecca?
Right. The first word we have here is tweak, and what tweak is to change something a little bit. Mm-hmm. So when you tweak something, you're making small changes. And right now, they're making some small changes to the lithium-ion battery. Talking about lithium-ion battery is... Of course, the main component is lithium, the chemical element. And these are the batteries that we use for almost all electronic devices, mm-hmm. your phones, your iPads, your computers, because these last longer than the traditional alkaline batteries mm-hmm. that we have, for example, in toys.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of Duracells if I had to plug them into my cell phone every day.
Oh, man. You would be charging it basically constantly.
You'd be going broke, too.
Yes. Right. So basically, in that case, the lithium-ion battery is more it's a better battery for storage than the alkaline battery. And that's why all our devices use it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So we're talking about switching from lithium ion to vanadium.
Yes.
As a material. And actually, some advances like the ones that Toyota and IBM are developing have been pretty good. They're able to power cars for 500 miles or more on a single charge. But...
Right. That's not ready yet. Those won't be here for 5 years. So the current electric cars, the Teslas and the hybrids like Toyota's Prius, they only go maybe 200 miles on a charge.
Yeah. And that's been one of the drawbacks of electric cars. There's been two main drawbacks with electric cars. One is the range.
Yes. There's this range anxiety. Charge. People are so freaked out that they're going to end up stranded somewhere because their battery died.
Yeah. And then the other has been performance because acceleration and power and speed. So Tesla has overcome the performance. Now we just need to increase the range on these cars. All right. Now, some others that other companies were working on did make their debut, or they came out this year, including what, Rebecca?
Well, here we're talking about solar panels and about how to store solar energy, because as we said before, storing solar energy is actually quite critical because you don't have the sun out 24 hours a day, and a battery will help the solar panel store energy better.
Okay.
And you can go off the grid. What is the grid, Josh?
Well, the grid is just the municipality's energy system. Mm-hmm. What is powering the cities and states that you live in?
In fact, in February, speaking of grids and power companies in California, the state required a Los Angeles area utility to do what?
Well, to come up with some – to ensure capacity is coming from energy storage. So they're forcing them to start storing solar energy.
Okay. All right. That's in Los Angeles. And then on May 1st in Germany.
Well, the country of Germany, they started subsidizing, or they basically pay normal consumers part of the cost for buying batteries that store power from solar panels. So basically when the government is subsidizing something, they're giving you money so that you will have the incentive or you'll feel that it's a good deal to go out and buy something.
We often see this word used with education.
Yes.
People have part of their college tuition subsidized by their company or the government.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That was in Germany. Now we move over to the mainland and what is happening there in China.
Well, they have a 5-year plan calling for 5% of all electricity to be stored by 2020. And you can imagine how much electricity is used in mainland China, so 5% of that would come from renewable stored energy.
give you an idea on this. 80% of China's electricity is provided by coal-fired plants. Mm. And then the rest is broken up between nuclear, hydroelectric, and some other sources. So they really need to get rid of a lot of the coal-fired plants because it has lots of environmental problems, creates a lot of the air pollution. Now, we learn about the global market here in our last paragraph.
Yeah, and basically here we talk about the global market for storing power. The forecast, or basically experts predict, that it will explode. Basically, this market will just become really, really big. So that's a pretty big jump from 200 million in 2012 up to 19 billion by 2017. So if you are an investor looking for a new area to invest, this is a very good area to put your money in.
That's from IMS Research, which is a data firm that provides stock information for companies and individuals looking to invest.
Okay. What do you guys think about this? Yeah, I mean, you're from Los Angeles. What do you think about California forcing a utility there to do that?
Yeah, we are definitely on the forefront of renewable energy. It's something that we hear about constantly. Our politicians and community activists are pushing for clean, renewable energy. And as they say in America, as California goes, so goes the nation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I do agree with Josh here. I think we do have to put more emphasis on renewables, because the truth is the carbon-based energy sources will run out. And another problem with the carbon-based sources, a lot of them are in countries that are not that stable.
Yeah.
Yeah, for example, in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. So the prices can go up and down quite rapidly. So it's good to have other sources.
Well, it's interesting to read about this because the technology has been there, not just with windmills, but especially with solar. Technology came out decades ago, but they could never really put this together. We got the technology, but we can't make this cost effective. And so I think we're gradually moving forward on this to figure out, okay, how do we make this cost effective? How do we also make it flexible enough? And that's what this storage is in batteries, tying all of this stuff together. We'll get more into this tomorrow. Thanks for being here, listeners. We'll see you then.